So now let us look at Zechariah chapter 8 again. Let's continue from verse 11. And we will clearly finish chapter 8. And if we have enough time, I might talk a little bit about chapters 9 and 10 as well. I will surely finish Zechariah. And I still have to do healings. I have to do more of impartations and praises. But I believe God will do everything. So in verses 11 to 13, you can see the blessing that is proclaimed toward the restored Jerusalem. Okay, including this morning, God is going to explode His truth to us. Just like the prophecy of Joel, God told us to gather more as we go toward the end time. So just as God has commanded, that is why we try to gather monthly around the world with two ministry family members. In the first half of this year, we had 13 different conferences in Zoe Ministry, even though I have never been to any of them myself. But my associate pastors, my church members, and including MBs and youth camp, we always gathered. And why did God tell Joel to command the remnants together? First, God wants to proclaim what God is going to do through the remnants. So whatever is being proclaimed here, God is going to work according to that proclamation, even though that proclamation is given from God. And that's what we have experienced for the last 23 years. Secondly, God wants to give us His special grace in order for us to grow during that meeting and gathering. So let's say if it took you for 10 years to grow to a certain degree, then it might take you only for a single conference to attend in order to grow to that level. There were many pastors who were like that. There were many conferences and pastors. There were many pastors who confessed like, "Oh, even though I have prayed for 40 years, I have experienced greater grace in this single conference." And this is something that we cannot never achieve by ourselves, right? It is because God is so interested in the gathering of the remnants. I know that you guys are all proud of your own ministries. But I'm not saying this because I'm just proud of my ministry. But I'm saying, why are the ministry of the remnants so important? So within the last three times of the sessions that we have left, God is going to revolutionize you. One thing that I loved the most after I met the Lord was the revolution of the existence. There are people who are impossible to change, but after meeting God, they are just revolutionized, because that's what happened to me as well. That is why in our church, there are many people who are dramatically changed. There was this one deacon in our church who tried to sue me. But after attending our church, he was changed completely. He became one of the most loyal person to me. So there are many people who were changed so dramatically like that. So for the last of the sessions, you must experience the same thing. When God comes present powerfully among us, there is nobody who cannot change. So who is this old self that you have in you? It is not just a bad person or something like that. But your old self is the person who received the tendencies of Cain that remained for 6,000 years in human history. So how wicked would that be? And the more, the longer the demon remains within a person, the stronger that demon will be. And you will realize that when you do deliverance. And once a demon like stays in a person for like 20 years, then it means that that demon probably have built some divisions of army of demons in that person already. And I know this because I have delivered out many evil spirits from people. And when you deliver out those evil spirits, you are not delivering them out with your own strength or anything. So anyways, the old self that is remaining in us has been existing over 6,000 years. So that is why it is impossible for man to change. And that is who the old self remains in you is. But when the glory of God radiates toward us, all that old self can be revolutionized as well. Right? God has enough power to do that. And God has the will to do that. So it is not our will and not our desire, but God Himself is the one who is desiring to do that to you. He wants you to be completely changed so that you can enter into His kingdom as a glorious heir of His kingdom. So anticipate and let us listen to the Word of God. So as I said yesterday, when you pray and when you worship God, those are not personal. That is why I tell you to pray in tongue, interpret, and prophesy. And through the prayer, God is going to receive your prayer and petition, and all these angels will bring them up to His throne. I'm not saying these out of a theory or out of my own imagination. But I have witnessed these kind of things over the last 30 years, seeing these things spiritually and seeing how God is working through our prayers. So I know that you guys trust me. But you should also believe in what I say. So being the remnant itself is very precious. And when you pray and when you listen to the Word of God, those are not something that you are doing personally, but those will be used as the element that are going to, those will be the ingredients that God will use to build His kingdom. So that is why I give all my life to preach this truth to you. And I believe that God will do great works in Dominican Republic and Richmond, Virginia in the upcoming conference. So pray powerfully for the leaders in those regions. Even though they will be filled with God's grace, but they will also receive powerful attacks from the enemies as well. Sometimes, you know, I skip. Sometimes I don't pray for my church members. There are times that I don't pray for them, but I never skip praying for the leaders of each region of the ministry. Because I know that they are engaging into such severe spiritual warfare. And sometimes I know so sensitively about the leaders of the ministry. Sometimes God lets me know that, oh, Pastor Samuel has lost like 3 kilograms. Oh, is he having difficulty or something? That's how sensitive I become when I pray for them. So, you know, I might think that, oh, Pastor Francisco has lost 10 kilograms, and that's a good sign, actually. Anyways, that's how intimate we are. That's the relationship of life that we have with one another. And of course, Pastor James and Frank from Africa, Pastor Isaac, I also pray for them as well. Pastor Gembe, Philemon, all the leaders of Africa, I also pray for them. They are great leaders. Let us, you know, keep a plug for all the leaders of the ministry who have done great works until now. Amen. Okay, now let us really begin.
Verse 11.
So now we are looking at the blessing of restored Jerusalem. But now I will not deal with the remnant of these people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. So you can also see the term remnant in this verse clearly. And Book of Revelation is the same. And not all the prophets are not like that, but almost all the books of the prophet talk about the remnants, and the recipients of those prophecies are the remnants. Why are they prophesying about the remnants? Because remnants are the children of God who will fight until the end in order to prepare for the return of Jesus. So you shouldn't think that everybody who have existed on this earth from the creation will return back to this earth. Then that's a mistake, because the earth cannot contain them all. Most of the people will remain in the new heaven and new earth in God's kingdom. And the remnants in the end time. They are the ones who will be returning with Jesus in order to rule over the people on this earth. So as you read closely into the Bible, you will find out that all the focus of the prophecies are the remnants. And you can see Jesus doing his judgment in chapter 20 in Revelation. And who are the kings who are judging together with Jesus? If you look closely, they are the people who are being victorious, fighting over Antichrist. The ones who are martyred, and the ones who didn't receive the mark of the beast, they are the people who will be ministering with Jesus in the millennial kingdom. So why is it so important for you to do the ministry of the remnants? You should be already knowing this by now. And even now, if your goal is to make your ministry great and big, then that's crazy. The main focus of your ministry is to lead each single one of your church members to God's glory. So that 100% of your church members would desire to be martyrs. This is not my philosophy. The reason why I always boldly say to the ministry pastors to bring my sermons to apply into your ministry is not because they are just good because of my experiences, but because it talks about the church that Bible is talking about. It talks about what God is talking about the church. So I say that when you bring this truth to your church, you can do the same. That's why we call this a norm. Everybody can apply this to their ministry.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this because, you know, I have done this, I have done that. So after all these years of my ministry, I came to this one conclusion. That's why I'm saying this. No, I'm not trying to humble myself. But according to the world, I might be a pastor who failed. Because even though we have 500 members of the church, but I believe more than 10,000 people have left our church already throughout our ministry. And we still do not have our own building, and we are still ministering in a commercial building. So, you know, you may think that I'm a pastor who have failed. Thank you for not saying amen. But that's the perspective of the world. God doesn't say like that. Even though he said this many years ago, he told me like this. My glory is your glory. You are my honor. And this is not something that God is telling me alone. This is what the Lord is saying to all the servants around the world who are putting their life to the Lord. You are my glory. You are my honor. So where should our focus be? We need to see this clearly through the Bible. Do not strive to gather more people in your church. Kingdom of God has nothing to do with number of people. Amen? That is why we need to put all our energy into raising each member of the church to the level of God. So no matter how many you have in your church, God is going to show His glory through that church. Amen? So this is something that God is telling to His remnants. So what does it mean that God is saying that I will not deal with them as I used to do in the former days? Until then, Israelites continued the lifestyle of committing sin, returning back to the Lord, repenting, committing sin again, returning back to the Lord. But now, when the kingdom of God comes, all the elements for the Israelites to stumble will be removed. So we can find evidences in many different places, especially in Isaiah 54, verse 10, it says it's the covenant of peace, and it's the eternal covenant as well. So this is the final confirmation of God's covenant that He's making with the Israelites. So just by thinking of the covenant that God made with David, in 2 Samuel 7:12 or 7:19, God told David that I will make your descendants to be eternally kings. But it seems like after the slavery of Israelites in Babylon, it seems like the heritage of the royalty in Israel has been stopped. But God took Jesus to become the king again, who came in the descendants of David. Just as God promised to David, Jesus became the eternal king. And what does 2 Samuel 7:19 says about that? That is the covenant of peace that God gave to the mankind. That is the declaration toward the men. What does it mean? It means that the mankind will truly restore the true happiness only when the king comes from the descendants of David. the world talks about democracy, communism, a lot of difficult, different political systems. But those systems can never make us happy. So it is not the problem of the system itself, but the corrupted men cannot rule over people to make them happy. But once the true king who came from the descendant of David comes to the New Jerusalem, the mankind can truly restore the true happiness. That's the eternal covenant that God promised to us. So that you will not repeat the cycle of stumbling and returning back to the Lord, but you will restore the true happiness being ruled by God. How amazing is this? We will build the eternal relationship of shalom with our Lord. And after having the relationship between God for 36 years, nowadays, God rarely commands me to do this and do that. And recently, God is telling me to do according to my faith. So that is how God is acknowledging me. Because we have built this personal and trust relationship. But I cannot even tell that I have also made this shalom relationship between Him. Because I still have wickedness in me. And I also have weaknesses in my personalities as well. But when you meet the Lord, when His kingdom comes, He will build this relationship of shalom with us. And think about it. Think about how tremendous that would be. Even now, I see the glory coming from His face time to time. But that is limited because of the limitation that I have. But just like 1 John 3:2 says, when I see His face on that day, how will I say? I will say, oh, it's the same face that I have saw, that I have seen. So that has two meanings. One is that it's the same face that I have witnessed before. And second meaning is that I have also been transformed into the same image like Him. And I will say, oh, we are the same. It is the same. So when you meet the Lord on that day, you should also be able to proclaim the same. You should be able to confess the same. And when you meet Him on that day, if you say, oh, who are you? Then that's a big no-no. Okay, so by faith, let us bless one another and say, oh, we are the same. Oh, we are the same. So you feel great, right? On that day when we see the Lord, how amazing would that emotion be? During my days, I always imagine how I will live when I go to His kingdom. And on that day, I will be clothed in the resurrection body. So when I go to the kingdom of God, I want to wrestle with a bear. And then run a race with a cheetah or a leopard. And kingdom of God is not the land of imagination. It is the kingdom that God has restored everything with His glory and His wisdom. So when I go to an apple tree, and when I reach out my hand, then apple tree will drop down the best apple that He has produced on my hand. Our resurrection body can choose to eat and to not eat. And even when we eat something, we will probably be able to digest everything completely. And we will probably be able to recreate all the nutrients in our body. That's the resurrection body that you will be wearing. So for Paul, this joy of imagining this resurrection body is so great that he said, I want to wear this resurrection body without experiencing death. That glory is so tremendous that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says like this, the moment of resurrection would be like being devoured by God's life. So how much of a percentage are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you? People say that you are a genius if you can use like 5% of the capacity of your brain. Because normal people, ordinary people, can only use about 2% of their capacity of their brain in their life. Probably people like me would only use 1% or 1.2% or something like that. Because, you know, practically I don't have a good brain. I don't have a smart brain. I'm just a little bit smarter than monkeys. After meeting Jesus, it's not a weakness for me. But when I was in school, you know, being not smart was a great hurt for me. So sometimes I would go to zoo and I try to, you know, talk with the monkeys. But, you know, they still couldn't understand me. So I realized that, you know, I'm better than them at least. So, you know, let me suggest you, when I make jokes, please laugh. I might kick you out, you know, if you don't laugh at my jokes. Yeah, anyways, let's continue. So how amazing would that kingdom be? Imagine how gloriously I will be clothed by His glory. So once Holy Spirit manifests all His power and glory through me, we will be turned into the resurrection body. Just by imagining, I get emotional. Verse 12. For there shall be a sowing of peace. This is talking about a harvest that is abundant. So when you go to the millennial kingdom, the creation will not have any limitation moving and living according to God's will. Actually, even now, the whole creation is created by God's wisdom and they are moving according to His will. But what is the problem? After humans being corrupted, because all these creations are supposed to be ruled by mankind using God's leadership, but because human beings are corrupted, just like Romans chapter 8 says, the creation are mourning so that they cannot fully exert the functions that God gave to them. But once the millennial kingdom comes, all creation will return back to the original state where they can move according to God's wisdom. That is why this is called sowing of peace. This is a status where you do not limit the original life that God gave you. When you look at the chapters after Isaiah 60, especially in 65, do people die in the millennial kingdom? They do. People who do not wear the resurrection body in the millennial kingdom will also die. But in that kingdom, they will say people who die in the age of 100 will be called as a child. So why will people live so long in that millennial kingdom? Because all the earth and the creation will restore the function of maintaining the life to the longer years. Will there be natural disasters in the millennial kingdom or not? There will be. Why? Because there will be people who will still reject and rebel against God's will. They are supposed to be coming to Jerusalem to worship God in the Feast of the Tabernacle, but they don't. Then God will bring thunder upon them or something like that. So millennial kingdom is not an imaginary kingdom that appears in the fairy tales. But you have to see this as an extension of this earth that we are living right now. But the difference is that kingdom is the kingdom that does not limit the creation of God. So when we wear the resurrection body, since that resurrection body cannot die, we will lose all the system of metabolism. Oh, not metabolism. We don't need to have those sexual organs anymore. So that is why on that day we will all just be brothers and sisters. We cannot tell whether we are female or male. I'm not talking about homosexuals or something like that. Don't get me wrong. Okay, let's continue. So why am I saying these kind of things? Because my spirit is continuously going back and forth from millennial kingdom and the present. This is why people accuse me as a heresy. Do you know that when I say these kind of things, that God is pouring His anointing of millennial kingdom to us? So you have to be able to follow me well. Amen. So that's the meaning of sowing a peace. So because the creation have stopped groaning, that everything will produce according to God's abundance. So right now, if you sow something, that might produce fruit or not, right? But in that kingdom, it will always produce crops and fruits. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce. Right now, the ground may produce something or not, right? But on that day, they will always produce. So will you have any limitation of resources? No. Right now, because of the deficiency that we have on this earth, we try to plunder from one another. But in the kingdom of God, it is not necessary to do that. And all the climate of the earth will be like a greenhouse. In the beginning of the millennial kingdom, you will see a global earthquake. And everything that has been created by man's hand will be destroyed. So what are you going to do with all these industrial waste, including concretes and cements? And during that earthquake, I believe that what is going to happen is that God is going to restore the air that He originally made in the creation. So the heaven will be flipped upside down again, so that all this waste will sucked up into the universe. And I believe that's when the millennial kingdom will practically begin. And this is not written in the Bible, so this is what I have seen in my visions. And then that's when the new Jerusalem will come down from the new heaven and earth. This is a temple that is written in Ezekiel 46. And finally, our Lord will come down, and that's where He will be ruling the earth. Amen. So think about how beautifully our earth will become. Do you think Dan Hotel will still exist on that day or not? No. But the land that we are standing on right now will still exist on that day. So on that day, when we come back on our pilgrimage, we should return back to this place again, right? And on that day, we will make Jesus as our main speaker to have a conference, right? Is this something that I made up? No, this is something that is written in Micah chapter 4. Jesus Himself will teach His ways to His people. So He will teach us His words. So on that day, you don't have to look for me, because Jesus Himself will teach you. Amen. Okay, let's continue. And the heavens shall give their due. Even now, Israelites are receiving the minimum amount of the humidity or the water source from the dew. But by dew alone, Israelites cannot produce crops and their producings from the farm. But in the millennial kingdom, what will the climate be like? You will not have heavy rains like today's, but only by the dews, all the land and the earth will be able to earn the water source so that they can produce crops and all these fruits. So in the millennial kingdom, you wouldn't be able to use the umbrellas, because the rains will not fall down heavily. By dew alone, all the land will produce crops and fruits. So what a great kingdom that is. And through this, we can see how much this earth has been corrupted and polluted by man. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Verse 13, or verse 12 still. And I will cause the remnant of these people to possess all these things. So in that situation, everybody who will be remaining on this earth will be remnants. We are talking about the royal priest. Of course, there are people who will still be remaining in their flesh, but you will not say that they will also enjoy these. They will be remaining under our rule, our reign. Through the millennial kingdom, they will be receiving our ministry and receiving the gospel. They will be changed. But it is so difficult for a man to change that even at the end of millennial kingdom, there will be people who will betray God. Because at the end of the millennial kingdom, God will set free the Satan who will be locked up in the abyss. And there will be people who will be standing on the side of Satan. So how difficult is it for men to change? So even though we'll be ministering for next 1,000 years, thinking about people who will not change, you know, it makes me discouraged. Should I be praying like that on that day too? Should I pray like, Lord, when did I ask you to send me these kind of people? Even now, you know, there are people who are not changing that are making me difficult, that are making me feel difficult. Anyways, let's continue. Verse 13. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. So right now, this is the situation that we are seeing right now. And I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. This is the restoration of the blessing that God gave to Abraham, so that they will be the source of blessing to everybody. Fear not. When us Gentiles think about this, we may not understand completely why God is keep telling him not to be afraid. But think about Israelites who have passed through the tribulation in the end time. When you go towards Zechariah chapter 12, you can see more. Or chapter 13. In chapter 13, it is described that 2/3 of Israelites are being destroyed. When you look at Revelation 14, in the valley of Kidron, the river of blood will flow over 250 kilometers. Of course, it is not Israelites alone who died in there, but you know, all the Israelites will fight against the army of Antichrist, and that battle, that war, will make the river of blood to flow in that valley. And when I first came to Israel, I could hear the cry of the land in Israel. Israel is a place where the most innocent casualties existed and took place. But at the end time, more blood will be shed on the land of Israel than it has ever been shed on this land. So when God tells Israelites to fear not, how much would that comfort his people? And there are many reasons why we need to love Israel. One of them is, even though they were corrupted, when we think about the tribulation and sufferings they have went through protecting God's truth, so do you also want to be chosen people of God? And protecting God's glory is not a simple matter. And receiving God's glory and living with it is not a simple issue. So you should never forget about thankfulness toward Israelites who have endured until now, holding on to God's promise and His truth. If I were a Jew, I might have cried out to the Lord like this: God, when did I ask you to make me a Jew? Or when did I ask you to make me born as a Jew? When did I ask you to be an Israelite? When did I ask you for Torah? I could have complained like this, because there were a lot of pains and sufferings of Israelites. But to Israelites, God is saying, do not fear. And this is something that probably Gentiles could never understand. So that is why we need to love Israel. They've been through all those pains and sufferings in order to secure God's glory that He gave to them. So in that sense, it feels like us Gentiles have just hopped on the train that they have built, because Holy Spirit just came all of a sudden without our own will. We have been raised as God's heir, receiving God's grace. And now it is our turn. We should hold on the hands of Israelites to pass through these days of darkness. And we need to restore the authority of the firstborn of Israelites. We need to restore the authority of the firstborn to Israelites. And of course, God will do everything. But us, remnants of Gentiles, are called to do that ministry so that we are here. Amen. So fear not. This is not a simple statement. And he says, but let your hands be strong. He keeps saying, cheer up, cheer up. You will see glory. So we can see and imagine how much of a pain Israelites will go through in this end time. And from verses 14 to 17, what is God saying? God is talking about then how should the remnants live. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purposed to bring disasters to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts. So before, when we made mistakes, God punished us, but there were people among our ancestors who did not repent. In verse 15, so again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. God is telling them again to fear not. So Israelites went through the process of stumbling and repenting back to the Lord, being punished, you know, stumbling again. But as I said before, they will make the treaty of peace between God, make the covenant of peace between God, so that they will not repeat the same process again. Even in the millennial kingdom, Israelites will have that trauma of being punished by God. Of course, we are not talking about the days of the millennial kingdom right now, but in verse 16, these are the things that you shall do. So this is what they shall do in the time when all the fear is gone. So God is telling them to be prepared so they live in that glorious kingdom. So church is where God rules. And how can we see that God is ruling over His church? By seeing that God is training us to be prepared so that we can live in His glorious kingdom. So for example, if you do not know completely how to live in God's kingdom, and if you don't understand what God's reign is, and if you don't know what it means to live by His grace, and if that kind of person goes to Millennial Kingdom, which would be already impossible in the beginning, then that kind of person will never adjust to the life of Millennial Kingdom. As I become old, I have difficulties with foods when I go to different countries. Not because the food in the country is bad, but as a Korean, it is difficult for me to get used to the food in different places. When I was young, I was not like that. I was good at eating everything, but these days, if it's something that is not Korean, then I have difficulty digesting them. So it is the same. People who have never lived by the kingdom of God cannot coincidentally go into the millennial kingdom. So practically, millennial kingdom has begun in us. When you look at the history, when a kingdom is falling down and when there is a new kingdom that is rising up, It is not like a new kingdom appears all of a sudden in order to conquer another kingdom. Before a new nation rises up, you can already see the signs of that nation rising up in the understandings of the people, in the philosophies, in the culture, and all the systems of the religion being changed before, even before that nation rises up. So in that sense, kingdom of God has already begun. The eternal life has already begun. The anointing of the millennial kingdom has already been poured to us. Right now, us remnants are preparing to live in that kingdom. Churches of God is where they teach people how to live, how to get us accustomed to the kingdom. Church never exists to teach people how to live well on this earth. But rather, what we are saying is that no matter what you have on this earth, it does not really matter. People misunderstand and think that if you do not have something on this earth, you will fall behind. No. But the reason why we fail miserably on this earth is because we do not know God. Because God is the one who is ruling over this universe. So as long as we have God's wisdom, we can understand everything. So we do not have to strive to learn about this world. We do not have to strive to possess things of this earth. Church must teach how to live by the kingdom of God alone. We must teach how to live gloriously on that kingdom. Amen. Logically thinking, we can live less than 100 years on this earth. Is it more wise for you to teach people how to live well on this earth that you can only live less than 100 years, or to teach them how to live in the kingdom that you can live more than 1,000 years? So many people are fools. Many people are striving to live well on the earth that you can live less than 100 years. Even though I'm stupid and I don't have good brain, but at least I know one thing. I know where I should invest more, right? It is better for me to live well in the kingdom that I can live 1,000 years. Amen? So many churches are making mistakes. Teaching people how to live well on the earth. And one of the most popular sermon subjects in Korea is, and this is something that people wrote on the newspaper, is teaching them how to be successful on this earth. How to be successful. And other thing is how to raise your children well. These are the most popular sermon subjects in Korea. Then this is not a church. This is just an education system or something. No, that's not what you should do. Church must teach people how to live by the kingdom of God. If we were to know about things of the world, God will give us the wisdom to know them. Look at Daniel. Because of God's wisdom, Daniel mastered all the education system in Babylon within 3 years. He became the greatest scholar out of all the scholars in Babylon. That's the wisdom of God. Amen? Okay, let's move on. So, how shall we live? Verse 16 says, speak truth to one another. And the reason why we can speak truth is because the truth of God remains in the kingdom. So the key to the victory for us is that we have God's truth in us, right? But we are still accepting too many information from the world. So even though we have God's truth in us, but it gets mixed with the information of the world. So in every event, God's truth must react alone. But because it is being mixed with this dirty information of the world, it has limitation. When somebody hates me, I hate back. Because I have the information thinking that if somebody hates me, then that's a bad person, so I should hate him. When I don't have money, I should ask to God what is the reason that he's not giving me the money. But instead, immediately, I try hard to solve that issue of deficiency. Because I have the information thinking that as long as I have money, I will be happy. So I cannot react by God's truth. That is why we must wash ourselves with the precious blood so that we can be cleansed in our mind. Hallelujah. Anyways, because we have truth, we will speak truth. This is the image of people who have been glorified by God. So, you know, all my mind will react only to the truth. When the situation of despair comes, then God's word will say, "Do not fear." The word of God moves instantly. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about this status as wearing the boots of peace so that you can react by truth in all circumstances so that you can be victorious. But this became impossible because you have been mixed with all the wrong information of the world. Especially, you have been receiving so many wrong information through your cell phones and the world. So whenever something happens, you look up on your cell phone. So you are not used to reject the information from the world. And many information in this world are wrong. First, the source of their data is wrong. In this universe, in the creation, God first created the earth, and then after he created the universe. But the world is saying that earth is created within the process of the universe being created. So the beginning of their information is already wrong. And information of the world came out from a short period of time that they have studied. So in the perspective of big data, that can make a lot of mistakes too. But the wisdom of God, intelligence of God, gives us everything through His integration that began from His creation. So they can never match. Amen. So, you know, I can teach all my church members about the wisdom of God, no matter what kind of field of studies they're studying. Even to the doctors. Even when I look at the people's body, I know, you know, where they are sick. Because all the big data that God has accumulated from the creation has been stored in me as well. And this is not just happening to me, it should happen to you as well. If when you look at Ephesians 1:3, it says that God has already given us everything when He came into me. not only the data that he has accumulated from the creation, but also all the data that he will bring in the future are already stored up in me as well. So believe in this and see how wise you are. There's only difference between you and I. I'm the one who believes this completely and the one who uses this, and you are the one who don't believe. But instead, you are so used to look up online, and so that's why you must be trained in God's intelligence. So for example, if you don't know where that Bible verse came from, then instead of searching up online to see where it is written, but instead you need to begin reading from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So if the word that you're looking for is written in Genesis chapter 2, then it's good. But if it's written somewhere in Revelation, then you will be reading the Bible all month long. Am I making a joke? No, that's how I was trained by the Holy Spirit. So the spiritual world is not digital. It is analog. Amen. So think about the wisdom that God has stored up in you. So receive the anointing. So what is the main focus of Proverbs? When God gives us His wisdom, then that wisdom will create understanding in us. What is understanding? So understanding is knowing why this was caused. So that you will not make continuous mistakes in your life. That's the understanding. So, you know, if you give birth to another son, then maybe you should name him Understanding. And then that understanding will make intelligence in you, will make knowledge. Knowledge is something that teaches you. So it makes you to experience about what God is saying toward that situation. And you will realize, oh, this is why God said like this. And that is why God was angry. That is the knowledge. And that knowledge will give us the power of long-suffering. Self-control, sorry. What is the self-control? It is like a good captain of a sheep, avoiding a big wave, avoiding those rocks in the sea, you know, avoiding the icebergs. And then finally, you know, parking his ship into the port. So he knows when to stop, he knows when to move forward, he knows when to turn, he knows when to change the direction. So the power to control the ship according to his will is self-control. And the reason why I can manage to minister such tremendous ministries like this within a year. So normally, in 1 year, I spend almost 6 months overseas. But for the last 20 years, I was able to preach on nearly all 66 books of the Bible in our church. And the amount of a sermon that I have preached is probably worth like 300 years of preachings in other ordinary churches. But why was this possible? Because I had wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God. So if God tells me not to put my energy onto certain things, then I will not. And when God tells me to stop, I will stop. So until August of this year, I didn't do anything. I paused. You know who I am, right? When I pause, Zoe Ministry cannot continue. But that is my thought. When I pause, our students will go out, my associate pastors will go out, my church members will go out for ministries. Kingdom of God will never stop. So when I need to stop, I need to stop. And this anointing will flow to me. The wisdom, understanding, knowledge and intelligence, and self-control. Amen. Okay, let's move on. That's how we should live. That is the way we need to live by the kingdom of God. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. So as we saw before, Israelites made wrong judgments. And on that day, the judgments will be made in the temple. But until then, the temple was corrupted, Tzedek of God was destroyed, and Mishpat was lacking. But now, God is restoring them. So they are now finally being able to raise a standard according to God's will completely. So within the kingdom of God, if the right truth is being run, then church members will rarely feel unfair, unjust, and they will not complain. And of course, sometimes there are people who feel unfair by themselves. But, you know, all I have to do about them is to just leave them alone so that they will be silent soon. So this is very important in the perspective of the church. So when someone is complaining, when someone is feeling unfair, and when someone is rebelling, on that day, those kind of tendencies will be removed because God's truth will be set. So when God, who is the head, commands us something, then all the church members have to move without any resistance. So the function of our body is, as the brain commands our body, all our cells will move according to the commandments of our brain, right? But there are cells who do not move according to the commandment of the brain, which means that that cells do not contain the information of death. All the cells in our body has the DNA of death. But there are cells who do not contain the DNA of death. That is why it is keep reproducing itself. So that is why, just like these cancer cells, people who do not put themselves to death cannot survive in the church. They are the cells who do not receive commandments from the brain. But once the true system of God is firm in the church, they will not have any the cancer cells. They will move according to God's commandment without any resistance. So that is why I always invite you guys to come and see our church. When something happens, all our church members move without any resistance. When I tell them to pray, they pray. When I tell them to serve, they serve. When I tell them to offer, they offer. This is not something that is limited to a single church, but I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the glorious kingdom of God, glorious church. So that is how important to the church to have the truth. If not, churches will suffer from a lot of cancer cells. When you tell them to do something, they will complain, they will disobey. They will say, why don't you do it by yourself? And then they will just avoid, they will just step aside. Those are cancer cells. What should you do with the cancer cells? Do you have to protect them and feed them well? Is that what you should do? No. All you have to do with the cancer cells is to cut them off. But do not cut them off all at once, but wait for them just a little bit longer. Okay, let's move on. Verse 17. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. So this heart is talking about all the personalities within you, including your spirit, mindset, intelligence, emotion, and will. So when I live by the new self and the old self, when I live by my old self, then the five essential greed that human beings have will move me. So God is telling you not to live by those greed, by those desires. Just like Habakkuk chapter 2 says, there are five desires in human beings that are keep absorbing the desires from the outside. So the last source of wickedness in you are those five fundamental desires in you, five evil desires. The more you repent more and more, you will see that source of evil desires in you. And you will realize that these are the essential wickedness that are causing me to absorb other desires. And normally, people do not admit that these are their wickedness. And if you want to know more about this, please listen to my Habakkuk sermon. And those are desires of possession, security, honor and fame, and achievement, idolatry, and control and pleasure. And once you identify them as your wickedness, you will pass through the victorious stage of your spirituality. And once you get rid of those five serpents of wickedness, your old self will not become strong anymore. Amen. You need to yearn and desire powerfully so that you can identify them as your wickedness. So in Mark chapter 4, you can see the parable of the sower. And there are four different fields. But the only ground, the only soil that can produce crops is the good soil. In order to be a good soil, you have to till the land, cultivate, and work on the land. It does not become a good soil just by digging it once, but you have to till the land every day. So first is the street. That's the soil of the world. Second is the rocky soil. That's the soil of unbelief. Third is the soil of greed, which is two seeds being sowed in one place. So even though you can produce crop, but because these weed is also sowed so that it is also being raised and it is covering the crops. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying that greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. Greed is having two governments in your heart. So these five wickedness is the same. They are the most tenacious desires and wickedness in us. But the power of the blood of Christ can solve these. Once you see the root of your evil, that's when we will have power to apply the power of blood of Christ. These are not just our thoughts, but spiritually you will be able to diagnose them as wickedness. So once you apply the blood of Christ upon that areas, those five heads of the serpents will get withered, and it will be easy for you to, you know, pluck them out. So you pluck that serpent out and you throw them into the pot and you boil them as a soup. And then when you drink that soup, you will get stamina. And you know, take that serpent out and put it into the soup and boil them so that it will become a broth. Don't you guys have snake soup in your cultures? I'm sorry. Pastora Noemi, do you want to try it? It's good for your health. That broth is really good for your health, that you don't even have to use any other medication. That's what people say. Anyways. So, I'm still not being able to finish this chapter, but okay, I don't know what to do. Okay, let's at least finish verse 17. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. People say, hey, you know, I swear under my father's name. And when you make an oath, it means that in and out of itself is a falsehood. In and out of itself is a lie. Just like Paul said, when something is not right, then it must be no. And somebody who can say yes and no clearly are the ones who are faithful before God. So you don't have to say like, oh, I swear, and you know, you don't have to persuade people, no. And this is the reason why you waste a lot of energy. When you feel unfair about something, you try to persuade people to convince them. And you try to, you know, soothe their heart. No, don't try to do that. Even though many people have accused me as heresy over 30 years, but never once have I reacted to them. So it is not like they have come right before me to curse me. What they are saying is just posted online. So all I have to do is to not to read what they have posted. So I would not waste my energy into convincing and persuading people. So don't feel unfair too much. When people curse at you, then you might, what they might say can be right. So you need to look back to yourself again. So in Chinese character, the term heresy has the meaning of having a different conclusion. So when I look to myself, I found out that even myself do not live by what God is saying. So you can say that I'm a heresy. So I must admit what I need to admit. So don't feel too unfair about things. And when somebody curses at you, even though you didn't make any mistake, then dealing with that person belongs to God, not to you. So when someone says something to you, then say simply. Just react simply by saying, that's not true. If it's right, then that is true. And you don't have to say anything else. That's how men of God should live. So if you feel unfair about something, if you feel unjust, it means that the darkness within you has been touched. That is why you feel unfair and unjust. So don't feel too painful when you are being plundered and when somebody takes something away from you. Because wherever they go, it is just that they do not just belong to your pocket, but they belong to you because God has given that to you. So don't be afraid of the robbers. If somebody steals away something from you, then they will exist somewhere in this world. There's one thing that you must be afraid of. You must worry about. Fire. If it burns away, then you cannot get it back. It's a joke, but not many people are laughing. What did I say? If you don't laugh at my joke, what would I do? Please. And he said, for all these things I hate, declares the Lord. So out of all things, these lifestyles that are written in verses 16 and 17 must be practiced in the church of God. Because these are the essence. These are the foundation. These are the foundation of how to live in the kingdom of God. But actually, this is actually all the lifestyle of the kingdom of God as well. So by living like this, what we are practicing in us is the characteristics of God. So in these verses, we do not see anything that mentions about spiritual gift or power. So do not ask for God's power. I'm not telling you to not ask for God's signs and miracles. But there are people who always just ask for the power, right? But I'm telling you not to just do those things. But when you have God's personality in you, then your character will build a work. And when you become that being, then the rest will be manifested automatically. Amen. Okay, we will conclude here. I promise you that I will surely finish until chapter 14. Tonight I will finish chapter 8. And then we will look straight into chapters 9 to 13. And we will look at the overview of God's timeline. So right now God's glory is falling down. And we will gather again at 2:30 again. We will receive impartation only for an hour. And then we will take a rest. And then we will return back tonight again so that we will receive God's glory again. So during my experiences of my ministry over 27 years, I have witnessed many people. And already, your faces are becoming brighter and brighter. By this, I can tell that you are being loosened already. And by this, I can tell that you are building this intimate relationship between God, saying that I remain in you and you reside in me. So by being like this, you are being able to draw the spiritual presence of God. And you become somebody who can keep listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you become more sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. So during this time of period, it is better for you to not talk too much with the people. So during the rest of the sessions, please receive God's anointing more. And please be renewed in your spirit completely. And after tomorrow's street worshiping session, when you do the Holy Land tour, I hope that you would deliver these anointing and blessing to the land of Israel as well. And people who do the domestic tour in Israel, let us meet again in the Garden Tomb on Saturday for worship. And we will have the Holy Communion as well. And people who go to Egypt and Jordan, yeah, you have your own worship there, okay? And I think Pastor Samuel will lead the worship in Egypt. No? Then who? Oh, okay, we have Pastor Lee. Okay. And who is going to be leading the worship in Jordan? Oh, Pastor Lee over there. Okay. So throughout this week, God will be pouring His glory tremendously upon you. Okay, let us give all the glory to our Lord, and please enjoy your lunch, and then we'll see each other again at 2:30. Thank you.